back again.
We've been waiting for a long time, but we ain't gonna wait no more. We're getting ready to rock and roll. We're going to 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3.
Welcome back, listeners.
Yes, welcome back. It's been a while.
It has been a while. And without a like really formal goodbye, the hiatus kind of just became a hiatus.
That's what, I mean, it's by the nature of the word, I think.
Yeah, but we went silent like a submarine. It was... But yeah, life has changed a lot since our last episode. We're all kind of dealing with the COVID pandemic. We are spending a lot of time indoors, and that presents its own challenges.
You have some news. That's exciting news.
Yes. We, Rachel and I, are going to be parents. We are expecting.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. We're excited. I've resigned myself to the chaos. The idea that, like, especially in this climate, it might have been worse. A couple weeks ago, there were limitations on, like, the father couldn't be even in the delivery room.
Right.
They've lifted that, thankfully, so at least we've got that going for us.
Yeah, no, because that's... When I was reading that about only... I would have shit my pants. That's a funny thing to say when you're
more than
a
new mom naturally does during birth.
But I would have, like, freaked out if I was by myself. It was pretty much, once they started putting the IV in my hand, I was like, uh-oh, this shit's going to get real, you know, because I'm afraid of needles and everything. So that's when I started losing my mind.
Yeah, there was a minute that we were considering a home birth and, like, going with a doula.
Oh, that's a fun, neat idea. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a novel idea. I don't know how practical it is in this day and age. In any case, I was down for it. I was all right. I wanted to do... We've got friends who did the giant tub that one stands in, and it's, you know, filled with water. And
yeah, because it's fun to stand in your own, like, shit and blood.
I forgot about that part. I wasn't...
That's neat.
Okay, so I'm an uncle a number of times over to... You know, I grew up with sisters. Like, I'm not squeamish about anything, really. I was aware that women often pee and poo during labor.
Well, you just, like, don't even know, like, sort of what's going on. If you have, like, epidural, it's like...
Right, when they ask you to push, it's not with the specificity of a surgeon. You're just pushing everything right out.
Literally what they told me was push like you are pooping. And I was like, I'm actually really good at that. Okay. You're on, doctor.
High five.
And I shot that kid out. And there's your horror show for the day. That's fun. Well, that's going to be so fun.
Yeah. It's going to be a hell of an adventure. I'm pretty excited.
And a girl, too.
Yeah, we're having a girl. And that is, I guess, I think in my mind, just based on, like, your personal experience, you kind of expect boy. Like, that's what I'm familiar with. That's, you know, ideally, that would be the easiest thing for me to raise. And I think it's kind of adorable that little Sid is just going to be a couple months older. And
exactly.
Yeah, we get, like, a next generation.
A new generation. Yes. Just like Saved by the Bell.
How's the family? How's Sid?
He's good. He's loving it. So we, in March, before they started, like, right after they shut down some of our work, before they started really shutting down the world, we came out to Illinois. So we're in the country in Illinois. So my parents are here. So Sydney loves it because he just gets attention all the time. He's probably going to hate it when we go back because oftentimes mommy needs quiet time and Sydney now is at the age where there is no quiet time. He's nonstop babbling noises, wanting your attention. He walks everywhere, mostly runs now. So that's mightily exciting. He's learned how to open the gates of his gated community that we've made for him.
His gated community, his octagon.
His gated community. It's him, his cow, you know, just different things in there. He's at the point where he's a real handful.
Yeah, a mobile. Yeah, I mean, that's a game changer. There's no more eyes off.
I see people like working out during this apocalypse, and I see people like cooking and reading books and doing things, and I don't get to do pretty much any of that. You know, you just can't, because this is what I have to, you know, do, which is cool because he's like learning all different things, and he's learning really good. He's getting really good at signing and stuff like that, cool. Which is awesome. But at the same time, you're like, but look, this person I know read 3 books, and, you know, there's a little bit of like lesser than syndrome going on, but that's okay. You know, that's being a parent, never getting to read a book again.
Well, I guess that's kind of...
I read him books, so I have, like, Little Blue Truck memorized.
Yeah, I do recognize that come July, everything comes to a grinding halt. And so with that in mind, like, I've been kind of trying to do the mad dash to finish up projects, and I mentioned the 4 pieces of music that I've been working on, oh my god, since 2016. I think I started the first of these.
How you know you're a composer, when you don't finish anything.
Yeah, and now it's funny, I liked having something to go to. Like, I could pick up and I could put down, and I've been through, I had like a computer meltdown that I rescued them from, and I was like, no more delaying this, let's just finish it up. So mixing and mastering and even doing some artwork for them, I put out the I just called it the Rance Macabre for lack of a better title, but the 4-track EP is up on our website now. I think I'm gonna take it down eventually, so if you listen to this show in, say, 2021, you can find those tracks on, say, Bandcamp, where I've put up the other music that we've done. But yeah, I'm trying to get stuff done, trying to you know, keep busy and sane. And so I was really excited to get the band back together.
Yeah, when I got your text, I was like, okay, sure, this seems awesome. I love doing things for myself and I never get to. This sounds fun. That's why I told everybody. I go, I have a meeting and I have to leave the house. I have to do a recording. Goodbye.
Nice.
So look out now, 'cause he's coming after you.
Since the apocalypse started, you've been seeing a lot of memes and things like this on the internet, and people asking questions, you know, if you could stay in an apocalypse house with just 5 people, who would you choose? Things like this. On Facebook, someone that I follow, Mark Nadal-LeHue, who is a co-host on the Horror Cast, another podcast, he's on Facebook, and he proposed this question, and I sent it to Darren. I said, I think we need to make a list here as well. And the question, you have a friend that has never watched a horror movie. You've got to pick 5 horror movies to get them turned into a horror fan. What are your choices? And I thought, that's a fun little thought project. I think we could do something, right?
We love to curate.
I love lists. You know I love lists. So who did you choose? And mine were in no order.
I've clearly got a lot of like pent up energy to put somewhere, because I really went at this. I love the like mixtape request. It's like all you needed to do was ask.
And my thought was like, okay, well, who is asking me? Like, what kind of movies do they like? I tried to choose like my general kind of enjoys a Michael Bay kind of movie, but sometimes watches like SVU maybe. Like, I'm trying to figure out what kind of person. So I tried to make a general pop culture list.
Okay. I think we probably went down similar paths. Okay. So I figured for this, you know, newbie, this hypothetical newbie that we are, you know, prescribing movies to, you don't want to say, turn them into a snob too soon and show Fair. Them the, like, really good stuff too soon. Because even some stuff, like, you might have to temper yourself.
Well, there were certain things that I enjoy that I wouldn't recommend to other people if they're not horror fans already.
Right. You know. Ice Cream Man, perhaps.
Perhaps French Extremity. I'm not going to recommend that to somebody.
Sure. And so, yeah, that could certainly turn someone off. And the idea is to indoctrinate. You're really trying to get them in. So that said, like, the movies, they can't be too good, but they also can't be too bad. Like, that's its own kind of flavor that, like, you want to leave them with a little appreciation to, like, search Netflix for terrible horror movies or
right
or, like, accidentally, like, be adventurous and, like, you know, pick stuff. I really dug the movie Haunt that's on Shudder, and it was a pleasant surprise when I was expecting garbage.
That's always nice. See, that's why, you know, I spent years watching garbage, because sure. I would say every 100 or maybe 200 movies, every now and then one will jump out and be just amazing, and that's why you have to go through it.
I like to let you take the hit for the team. So you, yeah. So, I mean, I still, you know, it wasn't that long. I have turned off a couple movies that were just straight trash. But okay, so these are my recommends for a new horror fan who thinks they might be a horror fan. I chose a bunch of different genres. I'm looking at slashers, a classic, horror comedy, monster movie, and meta horror. I think that's a nice scoop, I think, to really get someone in. You know, it's only five. Okay, first movie up. Just watched this earlier today. Tremors from 1990.
I would not have guessed this. Okay, horror comedy.
People sleep on Tremors because it's from 1990 and it's been a minute. But it's charming. It's funny. And it's got awesome practical effects. Like, it's really good on that end, that, like, they build scares and it works. Like, it still holds up. The special effects, it's funny. The only noticeable special effect in the movie is, like, a sort of green screen, maybe back projected moment when the graboid comes through the basement wall and tries to kill the Michael Gross from Family Ties in his armed basement. Okay, in any, I'm trailing off. I'm saying Tremors is a nice entryway. It's a PG-13 movie, so it's a nice warm-up. It's not too gory too soon.
That's fair. And there's lots you can go down a rabbit hole of sequels and then self-referential sequels later on. It's very, a lot to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of lessons in there where, yeah, the franchise can go off a cliff and eventually you've got Jamie Kennedy shouting in a southern accent at CGI creatures. It's bad.
That's when you know you've jumped the shark.
Okay, Mindy, give us one.
My first one to your run-of-the-mill person, I'm going to say Get Out.
Okay.
Think it will make them think that horror can be more than just blood and guts and gore.
Sure.
And I think they might say, this is horror. And I think that's always a good thing to get people saying.
Okay.
Because it has the mystery of a Hitchcock. It's got the pacing of a Hitchcock, but it's got modern day allegory. I think it's very present, but it can really send somebody on a lot of different rabbit holes to go down.
Horror. Yeah. It's definitely one that, like, that'll stay with whoever. And I think it's a really good build where, by the time things, you know, perhaps could be too much for some people, you're already invested. Like, the reason those elements work is because you like the characters. You're in it. Like, you're interested in the outcome. And so if it gets a little bloody, you're already invested. Like,
Exactly.
Yeah. Just on the, like, social element, I think I would worry it could be a little too much for some up front. And it's funny, I think the other side of the coin of what you were saying, that, like, you know, you raise the bar very high and sort of explain that, like, this is
petty.
Aspirational.
Right.
This is what, you know, movies should strive for, let alone horror movies, but horror movies are more than capable of doing it. And I think yeah, I think that's definitely useful. But I'd be concerned when that person goes like, all right, so I've seen all the awesome stuff and I can't bear to watch the garbage anymore. Like you've made a snob.
Oh, you're saying
Mindy.
I've made them because I set them too high. I see. Well, then I'll take it. If you watch Get Out first and foremost, then you just can't stand, I don't know.
Prom Night 2, Welcome Back, Mary Lou.
You know, then that's, I guess, my bad.
Okay, so this is an interesting sort of transition. So from Get Out to my number 4, I chose the original Alfred Hitchcock, Psycho.
Yes.
It's the oldest movie I'm going to recommend at this juncture, and I go as far back as 1960 because I think it's actually a very modern feeling movie. Mm-hmm. And you know, it has tons to do with the editing, but Hitchcock made a really taut thriller that I think if you're not uber nerdy about it, the idea that Janet Leigh dies early in the movie, it's funny, I'm spoiling what's coming later, but when Drew Barrymore eats it at the beginning of Scream, Drew Barrymore was one of the, you know, biggest actresses in the world. Mm-hmm. Janet Leigh was that for Psycho, and I think some of that is lost, but that said, it's still extraordinarily effective.
I would say with the soundtrack, it's almost a perfect movie. The edited version is pretty near perfect.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. Interestingly, like same as, say, Tremors, this is a movie with a lot of sequelization. The Bates Motel TV show, did you continue to watch to the end? I did not.
I didn't watch it to the end. I watched 2-3 seasons worth.
I might have watched the first two, but I tapped out eventually.
It was very good, and then I just... Who knows what I was watching? Who knows what happened?
Game of Thrones, and I let that disappoint me. Okay, Mindy, what's your next movie?
So, these aren't in any order, but thinking about that 1960, we'll fast forward a couple years. I'm going to go for 68, Night of the Living Dead.
Okay. I suspected.
It introduces people to zombies. I love the story. You know, I love a zinger at the end. And again, because of some of the things that are happening in the film, it's relatable to now-ish.
Oh, sure.
I think you can still watch that and say, oh my gosh, you know, this could have been really written yesterday. Well, not yesterday because people are together in the same place. But like it could have been written a couple months ago, let's say.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I figured it was going to come up between us. I might have... like sort of alley-ooped where I was like, you can cover this one. I want to use my other slots. but
no, I think it's one of the best zombie movies to get people hooked.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think even when Rachel, who isn't really, she's not a horror fan. What am I saying? There's no qualifying. She's not a horror fan. I did show her Night of the Living Dead. And she was like, that was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And I was like, You could give it a little more credit than just that and say it was a good movie.
You're like, it's brilliant, by the way.
But yeah, so Night of the Living Dead, I think, is a solid one that also a good, like, early entry where, like, it is a social commentary. It is a straight horror movie at times and body horror and the zombie metaphor. You know, you could look at it a dozen different ways. Yeah, we've talked about it a ton on this show. George Romero he's essentially assembled the Beatles of movies where, like, it is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yes. So I thought it would be great for people. Plus, there's things that they would have heard or seen in other movies and go, oh, this is where that came from. Just even in other non-horror movies, just in living in America, let's say. So following up with Night of the Living Dead, then what are you going to say next?
So this one we haven't done on the show, nor have we done the one after this, which I'm realizing that it's a good thing we're putting this back together. We got work to do.
We have things to do.
But the original Joe Dante's Poltergeist.
All right.
I think it's a really great haunted house story that builds really well. I love the stages of this. I really love the writing. The family is likable. Craig T. Nelson, who I normally don't want to like, is actually pretty cool. Jo Beth Williams as the wife is fun. And I kind of grew up with these movies I guess by the time they hit TV, I was around the age of Heather O'Rourke, who was the younger girl who they're here. So, like, that was my investment in these movies. Like, I'm one of the kids, you know, watching this horror unfold. And so, I think more than anything, it holds up well. And that, I think, Steven Spielberg and Joe Dante nailed it. Like, they...
Yeah, there's still some really scary things that happen in that movie. That clown scares me every freaking time.
Yeah, it hits all the notes of, like...
And you know it's going to happen. And I love some of just the fun, like, furniture moving and shit in the kitchen.
It's just kind of fun.
The idea of haunted house takes me to my next one.
Okay.
And I'm choosing Alien 1979.
Okay.
Scary monster on a ship.
Yeah, and like you were saying, it does kind of... It is built as a haunted house story. Yeah, okay.
I think that will appeal to people who like adventure film, people who like sci-fi, people who want, like, a badass lady, lots of shooting and stuff. You know, like, I think it would appeal to that Michael Bay... fan.
I think it might be a touch slow for the, like, Michael Bay expecting an explosion every 15 seconds fan. But that said, like, it's really strong visually, and it builds tension, and yeah, there's a lot to like. I wonder, well, the first go around, if you've never seen a horror movie and you arrive at the chest burster scene, are you going to tap out? Is that too much? Are you going to respond the way the lady in the scene does?
Oh, God. I think you might scream at the TV. You know, it's fun to scream at the TV. You remember the movies that you yelled at the TV. I remember in The Ring, when the American Ring, I think, was the first one I ever saw. And when she comes out of the TV, I screamed at the TV. You know, in the Spanish film, The Baby's Room, when he sees himself on the baby's monitor, I screamed at the TV. And I remember these movies because it's so very few and far between.
Okay. I'm getting my head around your approach to your recommendations more, that, like, and it's funny, it's not dissimilar to, you know, roles we were familiar with as far as teaching, that, like, make a memory and that person, like,
yeah,
that person is changed from then on. That person has that to go to. I'm a little worried you might be traumatizing them, that it's too much of a memory, but
do you think?
I don't know. I think our fans should decide.
This is my soft pitch, because I'm not, like, recommending Inside to anybody, you know.
You're trying to get someone to throw up. What do you make them watch?
What do we do?
Okay, so Alien, the original Alien. Yeah, there's not a lot linking these two. I mentioned it before. I mentioned the idea in the context that we haven't done this movie. I could have sworn we did this movie, but we have never done Shaun of the Dead.
Well, I've talked about it on many lists, and you know what? My next movie was going to be Shaun of the Dead, but I had just marked it out right before we started recording, and I put something else in there, so I'm very excited. You gave me Night of the Living Dead, now you get Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, okay. That it is, I will say, almost as scary as it is funny, which is high marks. It's Simon Pegg, it's Nick Frost, it's Edgar Wright. Like, these are brilliant guys who are always better together. And Shaun of the Dead, like, it, I feel like it kind of changed something. Like, anytime a movie that is, I mean, this is a little meta as far as zombie movies go, but every time there's one of these, it kind of reminds people that, like, oh yeah, horror movies can be this good. They can be this effective. Like, it can hit all the notes. It can be gross. It can be funny. Like, it's, yeah, Shaun of the Dead does everything it does extraordinarily well. I thought we had done it when we did horror comedies, but I think it comes up in the pub clearing scene where Simon Pegg and
the Queen song.
Well, before the like proper invasion, I think we were talking to Miskatonic Musings about Young Frankenstein, and when they do Putting on the Ritz, it's the same verbal verbal call and response that Nick Frost and Simon Pegg are doing to the zombie on the street.
Yes.
What's he do? To say bass
or freeze? What a tip.
Moments like that are so, like, I don't know if it took him 5 minutes or like the better part of a year to write to arrive at that scene, but like, it's outstanding. Like, these moments, like, I think about them a lot. Like, I come back to thinking about this movie a lot.
It has so much heart, too. There's such a great, I think, story. It has so much heart and so much humor, so many funny parts. But I think it's a straight-up zombie film as well. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's a great horror zombie film. And I love that it has just so much heart to it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to cause a fuss.
We're coming to get you, Barbara.
So mine that just replaced Shaun of the Dead in my list right before we started recording, I chose 2009's Zombieland.
This is now the United States of Zombieland.
All right.
Because I thought it would be a good way to introduce people to the idea of rules in horror, or the idea of being methodical in horror or in end-of-the-world situations, such as a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. On that note, hey, Mindy, you remember when we talked about, like, zombie apocalypse preparedness plans? And you were like,
yes.
I'm going to move inland and get away from the coast and to where there's fewer people. And I was like, I'm going to bunker in. And now I'm stuck in fucking Brooklyn and you're in Illinois.
Listen, I told you what I was doing and now I've done it.
Oh my
That's
God.
That's how it is. And you know what? Now I have tons of room. I'm not going to lie. It's rather spacious everywhere besides New York.
Yeah, it's getting weird here. It's getting weird here in the end days.
I feel like at least when we were, you know, thinking about it, we obviously meant what we said.
Yeah, yeah, really.
We stayed true. You have bunkered in. Good for you. Tell me how it works.
Getting a lot of work done.
You know the problem, though, out here, just as a sidebar, the problem is a lot of people don't take it very seriously in rural America because they don't see it like we were seeing it in New York.
Yeah.
I have a friend who sources body bags. That's what he does up in Westchester. And so it's very real. But out here, a lot of people, there's only 6 people in the county that I am in that even test positive for COVID. And they've all, I think, left the hospital now.
Oh, wow.
So it's just not here. And so when I make my mom wear a mask when she goes to the grocery store once every 2 weeks, and I don't allow her to go more than that, people still kind of look at her weird, like, why are you wearing a mask? Who do you think you are? You know, and it's like, well, this is how we all
look
should
at,
be. It's very
look at
strange.
Fancy pants city lady doesn't want to get COVID.
It's very surreal. And I am going to tell you, I keep my car with my New York license plates in the garage where it has parked since I came here. And we only use, and because what we do is for entertainment, sometimes we go for a drive. We don't get out of our car. We just drive
okay.
around.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something to do.
Yeah.
But I don't drive around with my New York City plates.
No, you might as well spray paint COVID car on the side of that.
Exactly.
Where were we?
Bummer City.
Bunkering
I had just done Zombieland.
Zombieland. The introduction of rules. I think that's a really good one. So if we were sort of pretending that we were going in an order and that you arrive at Zombieland, especially, say, after you did Night of the Living Dead, Zombieland is one of those great horror movies that calls attention to other horror movies. And as far as, like, it is unique Although, now that I'm thinking about it, Zombieland doesn't reference many other zombie movies.
No, because what's great kind of about it is that more it acts like a regular zombie movie who, in zombie movies, they never know the word zombie. It's like a freaking mystery what that is. They never watched a movie in their life.
Right, that that moment in Shaun of the Dead. The Z word, don't say it. So Zombieland, it the characters learn from the experience they're going through versus, say, something like Z Nation, which is very specific to reference zombie movies and like zombie culture in general. But so Zombieland, it's another one that's pretty funny. I rewatched it not that long ago, although I did not watch the sequel.
I haven't seen the sequel yet either, and it's on a streaming service I saw.
Oh.
Because my mom actually loves Zombieland, and I think that's partly why, like, last minute I changed it to Zombieland, because she's not, like, a huge, like, gore kind of fan, but she loves it, you know?
Okay, so on that note of a referential meta horror, my last one is Scream. Wes Craven's Scream, written by Kevin Williamson. While this is one that we certainly did do in our 100th episode, meta horror. This was joined with Wes Craven's new nightmare,
Cabin in the Woods.
It must have been, right? Yeah, that's right. Cabin in the Woods.
Seems like it's a natural.
Yeah. We did talk about a movie that, according to its filmmakers, provided the original idea for Scream, but that's a rabbit hole I won't go down at the moment. But yeah, Scream, it ages well. It's a meta slasher, and I think because it does reference horror movies, but it doesn't do it so thoroughly as, say, Cabin in the Woods.
Right.
Scream, I think, is a great, like, jumping into point where, like, this is also another paradigm shift where horror movies were kind of, you know, thrown into the gauntlet where, like, hey, you can be this good. Why aren't you this good? And they certainly tried to, like, duplicate it over and over. And this is another movie with its own franchise and TV series that I can't vouch for. Did you ever dive into Scream, the MTV TV show?
No, the only MTV TV show I ever liked was Together, which was that one about boy bands, and that was probably in, like, 1997.
And horror, but for different reasons.
Together. It was really funny. I even had the CDs. There was two of them. Because that's me. I think Scream is a great one, especially there's something, and I thought this about Zombieland, is people will recognize some of the bigger stars, and I think that makes people legitimize. I think when people are very into celebrity, and then you see someone like Woody Harrelson, or you see Drew Barrymore, and you're like, oh, I know them. Instantly, they like the movie a little bit better. And even on some level, they'll see Jamie Kennedy and know who that is, you know? They'll see Skeet Ulrich and say, oh, he's on Riverdale, you know? So people, I think it could be a wide variety of people that would enjoy it just because of who's in it.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, all the actors that you named... Now, yeah, I had that moment where I was like, that was over 20 years ago. That's, they're not teenagers anymore.
Those people are playing the dads now on the shows. How weird is that? We're old.
On that note, let's wrap this up. What is last recommend?
My last one that I would recommend, and I don't think it's too heady. I'm going to defend it. I'm going to go with the 98, the original Ringo.
Okay.
Because it's a good haunting. It's something a little bit different that I think people wouldn't have seen before. The pacing is a little unusual, but at the end of the day, it's a scary story. You know, that you there's a very clear beginning, middle, end. Well, sort of. But you get it as a person. You can easily follow the story.
And a credit to you that my list was conspicuously American and white. So, yeah, I'm glad that at least one of us was thinking more broadly.
I really like to get in here and think. I think it would send them on a way on to checking out, obviously, like, Ju-on or checking out the American version of The Ring, and send them kind of on this, like, J-horror rabbit hole. That was my idea, was to give them a little taste of something that would pique their interest into going further.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And I think Ringu is a great one for that because it's a detective story as well at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah. That I like that as a choice. Nice. I don't know the episode, but it was the second part of our J-horror series that we covered. Ringu, the Ju-on.
Yes.
And I guess Ju-on. we kind of mm-hmm. talked about like those movies as a series, but what they set off. And I really love the Ringu analysis. You pulled a lot of weight that episode. The Buddhist explanation to the like spiritual life of inanimate objects.
Right. I was surprised that Fallen wasn't on there. For you.
Me? Really?
You love Fallen and you recommend it to people all the time. And remember, I have a friend who doesn't like horror. He liked Silence of the Lambs and you said, try Fallen.
Okay.
You recommend it all the time. I can't believe you didn't put it on your list.
I don't... While we have covered it, it was such a specific genre, the idea of like police horror, that like Fallen... You know what? I'm not really considering.
But it's a ghost, you know?
You're right. Well, I mean, more so, it's a demon. Like, it's...
Right.
So it is a paranormal...
We didn't choose
explanation
any demons.
To it. No. No, I guess not. But,
Well, sort of, I guess, Poltergeist.
Yeah. I'm thinking, like, Paranormal Activity. I mean, it's such a... It's an interesting line between, right, like, paranormal versus demonic and ritual exorcisms, and that's its whole other thing. But, Yeah, no,
anyway,
Fallen.
Anyway, I was just surprised because you do kind of recommend it to everybody.
Well, I mean, these on this list, Shaun of the Dead has certainly come up in my, like, favorites or, you know, top all time. But I'm trying to think of the other ones. I've certainly not really commented deep on Tremors ever.
That was a surprise. That was very surprising. But I get it. I get where you're coming from. I get it. So if you have a set of five movies that you want to suggest to us, check out our Facebook page. We reposted the question from Mark Nato. So tell us what you like. There's been some good suggestions on there already. Some people agreeing with you. There was Scream was on there. Fright Night, someone put on there, which I enjoyed a great deal.
I could see that. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, it's funny that everybody has a different picture in their mind of like the horror newbie. And do I try and make them like me, or do I custom make a list that I know they will enjoy, that kind of thing? So yeah, we've all got this imaginary critic in our head we're trying to satisfy.
Exactly, exactly. So check out our Facebook page, like us on there. You can check out our Twitter. It's Rants Macabre.
We are on most of the streaming services. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes. We're on Google Play Music. We're on our own website where you can stream all the episodes or download them directly. That is therantsmacabre.com. On our landing page at the moment is the 4-track EP, which... For its existence, I have to thank the Patreon fans who kept us going for a couple years at a time, and that was that meant a lot to us. And so they got first preview listens to some of these works in progress, and so all the final versions are up there. I guess we should talk about Patreon. We're gonna make the Patreon content available. There'll be a paywall on the website to get the, like, the whole kit and caboodle. All the, I think we, it was over, you know, 30, maybe into the 40s some odd episodes that we mm-hmm. produce exclusively for Patreon. And, yeah, while we can't generate that much content anymore, we did want to make it available, and the Patreon people really made that happen for us. So big, big thanks to them.
So this episode is not just a one-off. What? No, we're doing more. What's coming up next, Darren?
We have an episode in the works for what I'm beginning to think of as like the original witch tale, like the archetype at its origin, the Russian Baba Yaga.
Yeah, and I'm excited. The more you dig into it, there's some really cool stuff in here. Some interesting things I didn't think about where, you know, sometimes these fairy tales come from. And so I'm very excited about this episode.
Yeah, we're going deep with lore again, and this is I'm digging it. I'm excited to be back in the mode of podcasting. This is going to be fun.
It's even nice just to like use my brain again, right?
Yeah. And it's funny. There was a period there where I wasn't really interested in watching horror, but I think it's a sign that I've acclimated to what's going on, and I'm all for it. I've been doing a lot of meetups and like tweet alongs and watch alongs with people. So that's been, I think at this point, community is really important.
It is.
I feel good to be generating something for said community.
Very good. Before you guys listen to us next week, why don't you guys take a listen to Modest Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition? If you don't want to listen to all 10 movements, just listen to the second to the last movement. That's called Baba Yaga. And we're going to be talking about that. It's the idea of horror, even in music or scary music. And I think we're going to enjoy this. Not only horror film, not only horror lore, but the idea that music can give you that sense of terror or fear.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool, the clip that you sent me and how they kind of explain the narrative with music. Yeah, that I'm excited to dig into it. So, yeah, we'll be back soon, listeners. We are back in production mode. So, the Rance Macabre, we're back.
We're back.
That's it for me. This is Darren, signing off.
I'm Mindy. Thanks.
The Rance Macabre. Cutting, culture, and curating.
I go back to her.